Give me some time to think. I'm in the bathroom looking at me. Facing the mirror is all I need. Wait until the reaper takes my life. Never gonna get me out alive. I will live a thousand million lives. My patience is waning.
From Miami, RAWF Network on the air. Let's bring on my co-host, who I know has been enjoying himself in here in Miami. Let's talk to... ladies and gentlemen, he is El Vacant. Good evening, El Vacant.
Hola, ¿cómo se dice?
Well, I do pretty good. I'm excited. Tonight we start the road to Immortal, which is just a month away, April 24th, live from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. But first, before we get there, we have to start here in Miami tonight for RAWF Unyielding. It all comes to a head tonight, and it is a tremendous card as we look towards who may be champions going into Immortal 9. So, should we start at the top or the bottom when we go over the card, El Vacant? What do you think?
I mean, I'm pretty fond of bottoms.
I know you are. All right, so let's take a look at this amazing card. We got some exciting undercard matches, including Mark Caliber taking on Ghost, the returning Revenge Gibson taking on Denzel the Giant, Blake Bradley versus Starshot, Teflon Sheik versus Mystic Maniac, all among the undercard matches tonight. We got an unyielding brawl between Nightcrawler and Dev. This is Nightcrawler's last match for a while in RAWF, as he will be going on tour following tonight's show. A hardcore cage match, Aaron McFadden taking on the Cougar. Aaron McFadden with the open challenge answered by the First Lady of Anarchy. She made up the rules. Aaron McFadden agreed to them. It's going to be a hell of a match right there. Aaron, he's had his successes, and he hasn't won any championship gold as of yet in RAWF El Vacant, but Aaron McFadden's starting to really make a name for himself and get his voice out there. And I see some great things for him if he keeps up with the work he's been doing. However, I don't know how much success he'll have tonight against the Cougar.
I don't think it looks good for him.
The Hawkster takes on Mithras in a high-voltage steel cage match. Mithras, one of his four matches of the night. One of them against his former tag team partner, the Hawkster Bully. In a scaffold match, Judgment will take on Hotshot Chaz. And then in a special challenge match, two RAWF Hall of Famers, Raven the Enchanted and the Razor, are also going at it head-to-head. Champions Choice Championship match, it will be Killing Neptune in his first ever defense in a handicap match against his two good friends, the Paragon of Greatness, against his brother, the Paragon of Greatness, and his good friend Uncle Frank. But of course, Paragon and Frank will be handicapped by the fact they can only do certain moves that spell out the word pickle, which is, that's of course that all those stipulations made by Mr. RAWF Judgment. Mithras will defend the White Lightning Championship against Chris Cage. These two have battled for this title several times in recent past, and Mithras, for the most part, has come out on top. So he knows how to beat Chris Cage in the high voltage cage. But then he has to turn around and defend two more titles against the good man Claymore, the Powerball and Platinum Dragon Championships, respectively. And considering what he had to go through, that he's a former member of Necessary Evil and what they did to him at Love Hurts, he's probably looking for a little payback in three out of those four matches tonight. Yeah, I think so, definitely. We'll see what happens. Mithras, another big night, as he is wont to have here in RAWF. Kane, the Governor, to defend the Multimedia Championship and against the Enigma, the Vulture, Eva. And that's going to be an interesting match there. I kind of wonder what she'll be like if she has a championship, if things will be different, or if it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But Kane has been a very strong multimedia champion. The Immortal Griffith takes on Killer Neptune and Joe Boo in defense of his Triple Crown Championship. The Hawkster Bully defends the FUBAR City Championship against Liam O'Shaughnessy. And then in the match I think I'm most looking forward to, the Midnight Hobo Championship match, Maeve O'Hare defending against the Paragon of Greatness. Is this her toughest test to date?
I mean, at least on this title run, I'm going to go with yes.
Okay, fair enough. I have to agree, and Paragon with all of his, you know, is kind of taken the opposite effect. He's been lavishing her with praise, giving her all her props, and I think that may have been, you think that's been what's been getting in Maeve's head, the fact that he's
been quite dastardly of him.
I think so. I think this is if this strategy works. I think it may be it could be one of the most excellent strategies I've ever seen, because as we've seen, Maeve has not been herself since finding out that Paragon was her challenger. National championship on the line, Chris Cage versus Luke Cage. Chris Cage looking to make history. He's still working on being the longest reigning national champion. He has to get past the power player to do it. And then, of course, our main event, it will be STB defending the World Heavyweight Championship against the Immortal Griffith, the former champion that he beat back at Black Friday few months ago. STB's had a good run, but does it come to an end tonight, Elvagan?
I mean, I think so. But I will say, look, if he manages to retain here, I don't think anyone has any room to say anything anymore, right? Like, at that point, I think he cemented himself as the real deal.
True. Very true. I do believe Simply the Best has put himself in the upper echelon here in RAWF history for a lot of reasons, not just because he won the world title, but he is former champion and several other championship belts under his resume here in RAWF. Plus, as I mentioned, he's the only World Heavyweight Champion to also win a Xanthar the Platinum Dragon Memorial Tournament. STB has cemented a legacy in RAWF, whether he wins or loses tonight, no doubt about it. But that is our main event. That is going to be very interesting. This tonight is, of course, we are now just 5 weeks away from Immortal 9, which will come to us from Alliance Stadium in Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. It's my hometown away from my hometown, if you will. I spent a lot of time in Vegas. I know it very well, and looking forward to going back to Vegas next month for Immortal 9. And, of course, we'll have the start of the Xanthar the Platinum Dragon Memorial Tournament, the announcement of this year's RAWF Hall of Fame members, and, of course, a load, I'm sure, of epic matches. Oh, looking forward to it very, very much. It's an exciting time, as it always is here in RAWF El Vacant, when we talk about the journey to Immortal. But let's talk a little Unyielding history. This is the ninth annual Unyielding pay-per-view. The first one was way back in 2014. And it was actually a very historic night. March 9th, AT&T Center in San Antonio, Haruki defeated 69 Sniper to win the RAWF World Heavyweight Championship. And it marks the only time in RAWF history, and I went over this, I perused this at length to make sure that this was true, but it is the only time in RAWF history that two ladies battled it out in the main event for the World Heavyweight Championship. That includes all pay-per-views, all superstars. It has never happened where two ladies have fought for the World Heavyweight Championship. That was the one and only time it has happened. Other interesting things that happened that night, I defeated Judgment in I think, my very first FUBAR City Street Fight in RAWF. And the Prince of Wales defeated Pebs to become the first Insane Mofo champion back when that was a thing, and was the first until recently to actually receive a real title belt from Aggie, who was the Insane Mofo GM. By the way, rumor has it that we may see the Insane Mofo come back sometime later this year, but we will find out whether that is true or not in the coming months. But that was in 2014. In 2015 was another historic Unyielding. It was at the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. We held two battle royals that night to determine the two people who would face off in the main event of Immortal 2, The World Heavyweight Championship was vacant at the time due to, I believe, Canadian enforcers. Yes,
thank
it was not you. Okay, technically, I suppose it was you, but not you. I don't know. Oh, crap. No. Now you got me on. You got me on. Yes, Canadian enforcer.
So I lost my title because two other people got the fight for it. Right, continue.
Yeah. All right. So the winner of those two battle royals were King Outlaw and Tank Girl. They went on to main event Immortal 2. So that was, it was an epic night at that on that evening. 2016, we were in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Immortal Griffith won the world title for the second time, defeating Salik. Michaela Doom defeated Raven the Enchanted to win the Platinum Dragon Champ. Paragon of Greatness won the Triple Crown Championship from incumbent Godric Mandevil and his brother Killa Neptune. So there were a lot of title changes that night. In Indianapolis. In 2017, Michaela Doom defeated Johnny Platinum to retain the world title in the main event, and Judgment defeated you, El Vacant. You actually, so this was an actual match that you defeated you to become the first ever official Champions Choice champion. And I say official because you were technically the first unofficially.
Yeah, that's true. He did.
So in 2018, we were back in Boston where Paragon of Greatness defeated Uncle Frank, retaining the World Heavyweight Championship. In 2019 in Nashville, Paragon defeated Teflon Sheik, Bastige, and the Great Red Dragon to retain the World Men's and Multimedia Championships, respectively, a big night for Paragon in his RAWF career. That night in Nashville. In 2020, Mithras defeated Lady Vex to win the world title for the second time in his RAWF career, and the Immortal Griffith defeated Big Greg to win the men's championship, which he would go on to hold for a record 476 days. So that was at the start of one of the longest runs in RAWF history. The Immortal Griffith defeated Claymore in last year to win the world title for the seventh time. And he also defeated the Hawkster to win the Supreme Fighter Championship, which he has yet to relinquish 1 year later. So those are the highlights from past Unyieldings. And so, yeah, a lot has happened at Unyielding over the years, El Vacant. And I'm sure you remember that match with Judge pretty well.
I mean, yes, I remember that, I lost. Real thrilled about that.
Well, I suppose you wouldn't be, but it is what it is. But a man who, as we mentioned, just went over, has a huge history at Unyielding and has a chance to repeat history as far as the world title goes tonight. He is here, and let's bring him on now. He is gentlemen, the Immortal Griffith is here. Tonight he fights to win the World Heavyweight Championship for the eighth Good evening, Griffith.
Eight. Such a nice round number. Very fond of that number. Eight. I like that. I like that number. It sounds good.
It's kind of roundish in two places, actually, the eight.
Yeah,
so.
True.
But, yeah, it is. Unyielding has been one of your strong points over the years, certainly. Winning two world championships at Unyielding could possibly win the world title for a third time Unyielding tonight. But let's before we go about tonight, let's talk about some of this history. You heard it. It was 1 year ago, first of all, that you won the Supreme Fighter Championship, and you have not let go of it since. And making you, of course, the longest reigning Supreme Fighter champion in RAW history, I do believe. Let me take a look at that, though. I have to check that before I... Yes, you just about a month ago broke Mithras' record for the longest reigning. So congratulations for that. And it has been 364 days, so... talk to me about the Supreme Fighter Championship, since you just retained it recently against Kane. Talk to me about having that for a year and what it means to you.
I mean, first of all, you have to love the name, right? Like, Supreme Fighter Champion. Like, it just oozes Griffith, right? Because, I mean, if any, I am the Supreme Fighter around here. But that aside, it's an honor to have any belt here in RAWF, and, you know, I've had this belt, like you said, literally, if I still have the belt tomorrow, it'll be a year.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's, you know, that's, I'll be honest, I didn't realize it was that long. Now, admittedly, like, unlike some titles, like, I haven't defended that every single month, like, sometimes, you know, because of the nature of the tournament, like, months have been skipped here and there, and sometimes it means, you know, it kind of falls off people's radar. But, you know, the tournament to get a shot at that title is no joke. I mean, the best and brightest of this company enter it every month. It's not, you know, it's not some gimmick thing where, you know, it's a tough challenge to get a shot at this belt. And, you know, every time I have to defend it, it's a hard fight. It's never, you know, it's never a cakewalk. And, I actually credit this title for keeping me sharp. Like maintaining that title has helped keep me at the top of my game.
All right. Well, I mean, certainly congratulations and happy anniversary to your reign there on the Supreme Fighter Championship. Let's talk now. I don't know if you remember this. I talked about in 2015, and it doesn't seem like you'd been around since 2015, but you have. That was when, about the time you joined, was somewhere in early 2015. And those two battle royals I mentioned that were held to determine the two people, you were actually a part of one of those two battle royals. Do you recall that at all and how chaotic that whole thing was?
I was in that battle royal. In fact, actually, it's one of the very first major events I was in this company, as I recall. Battle royals are very, very hectic. There's no other word for it. You know, I would have loved to have won that battle royal, but it wasn't my night.
It wasn't your night. But but as we mentioned, you have won two world titles at Unyielding. So tonight is a chance to win it for the third time at a pay-per-view. You defeated Salik back in 2016, and then last year defeating Claymore. So tonight, STB, World Heavyweight Championship match. What are your final thoughts before the big to-do?
I mean, what's left to be said? I have nothing to lose, everything to gain. And STV is in the exact opposite boat. He beats me. He keeps his title. I mean, I guess he has something to gain. He has some bragging rights because he managed to actually beat me. And, you know, good for him if he manages it. Look, everyone loses here and there. But here's the thing. Like, if I lose, I'm still the most decorated champion in the history of this company. I'm still a man sitting here with two Hall of Fame rings on my hand. I'm still, you know, the longest reigning champion for Supreme Fighter, tied for longest, you know, most defenses of world. by far the most often world champion, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, it doesn't hurt me to lose this match. But if I win, or should I say when I win, that nice little box that says world champion gets another little check after it. Turns it to 8 times. Puts that wall between me and anyone even challenging my record that much further out of reach. It proves that everything I've been saying since I lost the title is true. It proves that one man had a lucky night and he knows it. So my thoughts, gods go with you there, STB, because you're going to need them, all of them.
And, of course, along with the world title match, you are defending the Triple Crown Championship tonight for the first time after winning it at Love Hurt. It is Jobu and Killer Neptune are your opponents. And, Triple Crown Championship has always been interesting because you basically have to, if you're champion, you only have to beat one person and hope that one of those two, the whoever beats you doesn't beat the other guy. It is, you know, that it is what it is as far as that goes. But it's a it
the
can
odds
be
are
just,
in your favor.
Yeah, the odds are in your favor, and as you know, as you have it's well documented that you like to have very long title reigns. So I'm assuming you plan on holding that Triple Crown Championship for a while.
I mean, it's pretty rare where I decide I'm going to have I don't like this belt. I'm just going to let it go. It clashes with my outfit. Like, you know, whoever you had design all your belts, they're all very fashionable and very stylish. So I like wearing them.
Yeah. You usually have one, at least one, if not more.
I'm trying to think, when was the last time I only had one?
It's been at least, I can't remember. I don't know. It is what it is, and tonight you have a chance to walk out with the World Heavyweight Championship for the 8th time, and when you square off against Simply the Best. Good luck to you tonight, Griff. Any final thoughts?
You know one thing. I got to say, look, like, you know, the pay-per-view hasn't even started yet, and Jobu's already in the back bitching and whining about, like, the setup for the match. Like, it's like he doesn't understand that as the champion, I come out last. Like, he's he feels like he should have the big entrance. And I'm like, it's not how it works. I have the title. I get the, like, you're a challenger, man. Just suck it up, go out in the ring and do your job. It's not true. I understand why you want that moment in the spotlight because it's the only one you're going to get tonight. But you know your role.
And I did hear that he was complaining about how each person should get first move at least once in a Triple Crown Championship match, but that's not how it works, Jobu. The champion gets first move as championship advantage, so he gets first move in both his moves, and then the third match is determined by who finished higher in the rankings, and thus, because Killer Neptune finished higher than you in the rankings, he went first in the match not involving Griff. So that is why you went second in both of your Triple Crown title matches. So that is how it has worked and has always worked in the Triple Crown Championship. So there you go. All right. With that being said, Griff, good luck to you, and we will see what happens and see if indeed you are the World Heavyweight Champion going into Immortal. Good luck, sir.
And thank you, sir. You have a good evening.
What's that smell? Elvacan?
Hmm?
What? What are you eating over there? What are you eating?
Here?
Yeah, that. What is that?
It's the special from the truck. It's the torta cubana. I told you yesterday, right? Oh, hell, wait. Actually, I brought you one. Give me a minute. Where'd it go? Here you go.
Woo! Wow, look at this thing. Wow. Holy
Oh, wait, actually, also here, because I didn't know if you'd want them. Here's a side of mustard if you want it. Normally, that goes on there, but not everybody likes mustard.
Oh,
and here's a side of jalapenos, because I know you don't like spicy, so I didn't want to put them on there for you.
I appreciate that. No jalapenos for me. They give me gas. But, wow, what is all in there? Good Lord. That thing is...
Is
that a hot dog? Do I see hot dogs in this thing?
I mean, sort of. They're Mexican hot dogs, but these are basically the same thing. Let's see. What goes normally? So you start with like a breaded pork loin chop, some, you know, Mexican pork hot dogs, which are only, you know, slightly different than what you get here in America. Then we get some sliced ham. There's some carne asada. There's a fried egg in there. There's some queso cheese.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Oh, great.
There's avocados, some refried beans, some onions, some tomatoes, a little bit of mayonnaise. And then we put that all together and we kind of fry the bread. Yeah,
there's no surprises in here, right? No.
I told you everything.
You know, because if you were a judgment, I'd be worried that there'd be like spermicide.
You could, you know, when you come to the truck, you can ask for other things. Like there's some options that can be added to it, but you have to ask for them.
All right. So let me take a bite of this thing. Good Lord, this thing is huge. I mean, I've got a big mouth. I've got a big mouth, but geez.
So here's one of the tricks. Here's the trick. So you put it on the plate and then you kind of get your hand on top of it and bring your elbow like straight up and just push down and just push. And you'll see all the fats kind of run out of it and everything. Uh-huh. And then you just pick it up. And before it can regrow, you pick it up and you eat it. Right. I may keep this on the menu because I forgot how good these are. They're a little labor intensive, but I don't make them.
Damn. Wow, that is absolutely delicious. If I didn't have a show to do, I would finish this thing. But I'm gonna wrap this thing up, and I will be eating this immediately once we go off air. I'm not gonna.
I was gonna wait too, and then I kept smelling it, so I couldn't. I had to.
Whew, all right. Let's bring on our next guest. He is Mr. R-A-W-F. He is the Puppet Master. This is a big season for him, a big night for him. Let's talk to... Gentlemen, he is an RAWF Hall of Famer. He's been here since day one. He is a judgment. Good evening, Judge.
Hello, Amadeus. What's up, Elvigan? Amadeus, I have one question for you. Just one little question.
Yes.
Does it taste different?
I have to say, this thing tastes... Now, what is to call it different? Tastes delicious. God, let's not talk about it.
Well, you said grow huge in me. It sounded like my ex.
I'm trying not to think of the sandwich right now because I really want to take it to eat it while we're on air, and I don't want to do that because I want – so just forget about the sandwich.
And when it's on air, I can eat it on air or not. I can just eat it.
We know.
Yes, we know. It. We've been there.
Yeah.
All right, but at any rate, Judgment, it is immortal season.
Yes,
tonight
yes.
is unyielding.
It
you
is.
Actually, tonight, is, you have a scaffold match with Hotshot Chaz, one of the things that you've done many times here in RAWF. But let's take a look at your unyielding history, some of your unyielding history, because it's actually quite interesting. As I said, the very first unyielding, I defeated you in a FUBAR City street fight. Do you recall that night?
I do not recall that night, no.
Of course you wouldn't, but yes, I defeated you. Then in 2015, Judge, I don't know if you remember this, you were then the first and only ever Girl Scout Cookie Challenge against Crushing Kelly. And I don't remember all the details of how this came about. I just remember that that was a thing. Do you remember the Girl Scout Cookie Challenge and what the hell that was all about?
I remember the Girl Scout Cookie Challenge because I had the Thin Mints all in places that Thin Mints shouldn't have went.
But I don't know what the freezer in your mouth.
Yeah, I don't have no idea what happened to that match. It was a Crushing Kelly match. Who knows what happened? One of her crazy matches. Listen, I didn't come up with a crunchy cookie thingamajig.
But in 2017, skipping ahead, you defeated El Vacant to become the first ever official Champions Choice champion. Do you remember that match against El Vacant?
Oh, El Vacant, yes, my little buddy. My I call him my little buddy. He's like 7'8", but I mean, come on, he's El Vacant. I mean, he had the belt. He's originally had the belt to begin with, and then I had to take it from him. But I'm the official first holder of the belt.
And I mean, that's been can you believe that's been 5 years, Judge, since that happened? That,
5 years.
That the Champions Choice Championship is officially 5 years old at this point.
5 years old.
And
time flies
when
you have fun.
And you've been having fun with that Champions Choice Championship, even though you haven't been holding it. You've been in control of Killer Neptune's opponents over the last several months. He, of course, is the longest
yes.
reigning Champions Choice champion to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, you threw him a curveball in a way. You have him up against Uncle Frank and the Paragon of Greatness in a handicap match. However, Paragon and Uncle Frank, they can only use moves that's in a certain group. Let's see if I can find them here. It is pile driver, Irish whip, leg sweep. Let me go to the match. All I know is it has to spell out pickle. There's a certain the moves. It's a specific set of moves that they have to do.
Yes, it has
so,
pickles, and if they fail. If they fail, say he does the power driver and then gets to the eye and he fails, then the next time he comes around, he's got to restart with P.
Ah, okay.
So he's got to spell pickles. Each time he's got to spell pickles. It can't be
power driver.
Pickles or dickles. Yep.
Power driver, Irish whip, chop block, flying knee, low blow, elbow strike. Those are the only moves that they can use, and they have to use them
yes.
in that order. So,
in that order, to spell pickles, yes.
So knowing, I mean, to be fair, it almost seems like an unfair matchup on paper, Killer Neptune facing two of his brothers. But at the same time, you handicap Paragon and Frank pretty heavily there, that they only could use certain moves. So I don't see Killer Neptune walking out of there not the champion, but I suppose it's possible when it's a 2-1 advantage. But,
I forgot. I almost forgot something. For Paragon, I don't know if you can hear. I don't know if Paragon's listening tonight. Paragon, I heard you was talking the last week about how you and your brother, you know, you might get to the. You asked if you could do the half of the move and then tag him and then bring in and then he could pick up the other part. See, this is something I forgot. But it's don't spell pickles if you put a T in there, does it, Amadeus? So, ooh.
Wait, are you saying?
The tag is in a wrestling move.
Who is a tag? That's tag like move.
Saying
he's got to move the tag.
He's
got a tag. He's got a tag. He's got the tag. There's no T. You can't. There's no pickles.
That
no
doesn't
tickles.
Make any sense, Judgment.
It's pickles.
Right.
It
but,
is.
But it's not
it.
A wrestling
think
move.
Think about it.
He can't walk because there's no W in pickles.
That's true.
Like, she can't get in the ring because there's no G in pickles. He can't fart because there's no F in pickles. These are not wrestling moves.
Tagging is a wrestling move.
No, it is not. It is not a move. It is a function of wrestling.
You have to move to tag the person.
I have to move to breathe.
No, you can't. You can sit still and breathe.
No, absolutely you can. Your diaphragm has to move or you don't breathe.
You breathe. I'm sitting still now. I'm breathing. Look.
Great. And your diaphragm is moving.
My digger friend, what? Anyway, it's just
look,
no tech. There's no tech. So there you go.
Elvis, he makes the rules. He's allowed to do this, unfortunately. Not that I disagree with you, Elvika, but unfortunately.
I'm going with Cougar. He doesn't tag him. He's going to pat his brother's hand to trade places. And P starts to
He can't do it. So it's good luck with the unofficial handicap match.
Oh, for crying out loud. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about your scaffold match with Hotshot Chaz, who just recently returned to action. And, he's probably a little ring rusty, no doubt about it. Probably not in the, I'm sure he's been working out, keeping in shape, but I don't know if he's preparing for a scaffold match. You, however, have quite the experience in scaffold matches. This is probably about your fourth or fifth scaffold match in your RAWF career. So, I mean, he accepted the challenge, but I think you have the advantage tonight. El Vacant, would you agree with it? The judge has the distinct advantage tonight over Hotshot Chaz.
Simply by being judgment.
I think you're there. It's just going to be so much fun when I hit him and I knock him off of that 50-foot scaffold into the ring. And I just hope he doesn't get seriously – I don't want to seriously hurt him because he's just not making a return. And I don't want to hurt him, but I might have to do what I can to pull this win out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Judgment, but you've had a handful of scaffolding matches before, yeah? Like, I know of at least two.
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, you won them all.
Yes.
So I'm saying and I don't even mean that in the way like he says he's won every this. I mean I think he actually won them all. I don't know what it is. You put Judgment here in a normal match, and he might win, he might not win. He's a good wrestler, but he's not like holy shit, you can't beat him. Right? Like, he has his good days, he has his bad, like many wrestlers. But you put him in one of these, like, holy shit, someone's going to die matches, and somehow, like, he just lights on fire. And next thing you know, he's up there going, I am invincible, rawr. And I don't understand that.
That is why he is Judgment. That's one of the reasons that's what has defined his career. To be honest with you, he can put himself through the most grueling of matches and come out he doesn't always come out unscathed. Oh, I think someone actually beat him straight once. I can't remember who that was, but he was actually.
Yeah, he's hit me on fire. I mean, set on fire. So yeah, it's been some matches, been some crazy matches.
You've been locked in a box. You've had just about everything that could happen to somebody happen to you. So
yeah,
but all right. So I mean,
that's because
of Immortal Judgment. Here's the thing. You're in anarchy. Hotshot Chaz is in anarchy. Why call out a fellow anarchy member? Why do that? Why not go after somebody else?
Well, Chaz wanted. He wanted to come back and he wanted to go. He wanted to make a headline. He wanted to be in a top match at the pay per view. And we are the top members of the companies. We are the top members of the group. And why not face each other to show these people? We're basically teaching the other all these other people how to do these matches. So watch us. You learn how to do the matches, then you go out and you take what we teach in you, and you learn, and you learn from it. Look at Coogs. Coogs, first lady, she does all this stuff. She does all these matches. People watch after her, and they get excited for her, and they know now how to do those type of matches that she does. So we're going to teach you guys how to do a scaffold match. Watch us tonight, and you're going to learn how to do a proper scaffold match. So when it comes your time to do one, you'll be able to do it and not look like.
So you're saying you're just looking out for your fellow Anarchy member, putting him in a good spotlight at a really big show with a really like fun to watch match. That's what
we're going to have. We're still going to be a turn. It's just going to be a match. I'm not going to give up. But I'm going to probably hurt him. But it is what it is.
You realize the way you win is someone goes flying off a scaffolding, right?
Yeah.
But you know that hurts, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. One of us is going to get hurt, but still, we do it because we love the sport, and we do it because we are the top contenders and competitors within the company. How many other people you see putting their bodies in the punishment that we put ourselves in? Not that many.
All right. Well, Judge, I got a couple of things to ask you here. First, I mentioned last night that I wanted to help you out with the halftime show at Immortal, which you actually usually take care of.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to let you take care of it for the most part. I am just going to insert one thing.
Okay.
I'm going to. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to work around the one thing that I have planned for the halftime show, because our very special musical guests at Immortal 9 will be Las Vegas's own, the Imagine Dragons. They will be the special. Imagine Dragons. You know the band Imagine Dragons. They actually.
Imagine Dragons. Yes.
Yes. If you don't know them, you can go on YouTube or Google them.
You know them. They do the Thunder song you like.
Thunder. Feel the thunder.
No,
yeah.
Yes.
I know you love that song.
I do like that song.
That's a pretty good jet, I have to tell you. That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good show. I'm going to have to work around them, so let me see. I know who I can do. Okay.
All right. You think you can work with that? That's the only thing I require. The rest is all up to you. And try not to kill the Imagine Dragons with whatever you decide to do, okay?
They're making a plan.
All right. So we got that settled. The rest is all for you to take care of there. All right. Judge, I got one last question for you, and it's pretty important. At Immortal, so during this next month period, the Hall of Fame committee will be getting together to discuss who will be going to the RAWF Hall of Fame. You, sir, have been in RAWF since practically day one. We know, you actually gave me the company that became RAWF.
I love a job with it.
So you've been there since day one. So I want your opinion on who you think off the top of your head should be a member, should go into the RAWF Hall of Fame.
Wow. Okay. I can tell you right now, the person that I am going to suggest, this person, I said it before, was deserving of it. I thought he was deserving of it a couple of years ago, and I didn't push like I'm going to push this year, but I'm going to push Chris Cage.
He's been consistent. He does great.
Great matches. He does what he does. He does what he needs to do. He wins matches. He may not win the big matches. He may not have had the big matches yet. But for a contender, for someone who is RAWF, who we know is RAWF, and if you ask him to do something, he's going to do it. It's going to be Cage.
Okay. Well, that's not a bad suggestion, and I'm certain the Hall of Fame committee is going to listen because you are a well-respected individual here in RAWF, so I'm certain they will take that into account. And thank you, Judge.
I will be nominating a suggesting a couple others, but he will be at the top of my list.
And sometime this week, ladies and gentlemen, the Hall of Fame suggestion scene will be out. I don't know exactly when yet, but it will be sometime this week, I promise you.
This week.
And then the Hall of Fame committee will start getting together sometime in the near future as well. So thank you, Judgment. I appreciate it, and good luck tonight against Hotshot Chaz. Try not to hurt yourself too bad.
You do the same thing with that
thingamajig
you're going to eat over there. Those look good. I'm gonna go
give
you one.
Don't talk about. I'm trying to. God, I can still.
I'll just
tell
take his.
I recommend them. If you like mustard, you have a choice of regular mustard or spicy mustard. I think the spicy mustard works a little better on that combination. Just my, you know, my recommendation.
Okay, we'll get spicy mustard and give us some jalapeno.
How are you about spicy food?
Thank you,
Judge.
Oh,
I'm easy with spicy food.
You like spicy?
Amadeus can't handle it.
He can't. That's why he's at. So, look, it's not normally on the menu, but if you ask the nephews, right, if you ask them nicely, we have candied jalapenos back there, and those are amazing on there.
I'm going to get me one. They say, all right, they have credit card. Okay, cool.
Thank you, Judge. Now, skedaddle so I can do a song break so I can have some of the sandwich. Thank you, Judge. Elvacant, we're going to take a quick song break, which we rarely ever do at pay-per-views, but I'm doing it anyways just because this damn sandwich looks really good. We'll be right back. This is RAWF Unyielding on the RAWF Network. We'll be right back.
Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, can y'all feel that, can y'all feel that, jig it out, Here I am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the base and the sunset low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work, all play, okay? So we sip a little something, lay the rest to spill. Me and Charlie at the bar running up a high bill. Nothing less than ill when we dress to kill. Every time the ladies pass, they be like, can y'all feel me? All ages and races, real sweet faces. Every different nation, Spanish, Haitian, Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, or Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing.
Party in the city where the heat is on all night, on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami, bienvenido a Miami.
Bouncing in the club where the heat is on all night, on the beach till the break of dawn.
I'm going to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
So I heard the rainstorms ain't nothing to mess with, but I can't feel a drip on the strip. A trip, ladies have dress full of your quip, and they be screaming out,
love,
so I'm thinking I'ma scoop me something hot in this style, summer rain game melting pot, hottest club in the city, and it's right on the beach, temperature, get the air, it's about to reach 500 degrees in the Caribbean seas, with the hot mommies screaming, every time I come to town, they be spotting me, in the drop Bentley, ain't no stopping me, so cash in your dough and flow to this fashion show, pound for pound, anywhere you go, yo, ain't no city in the world like this, and if you ask how I know I got to plead the fifth. Chi-town got it going on, and New York is a city that we know don't sleep, and we all know that LA and Philly stay jiggy, but on the snakes, Miami bringing heat for real, y'all don't understand, I never seen so many Dominican women with sentiment tan, mira, this is the plan, take a walk on the beach, draw a heart in the sand, give me your hand, damn, you look sexy, let's go to my yacht in the West Keys, ride my jet skis, lounge under the palm trees, cause you gotta have cheese for the summer house, keep on South Beach, water so clear, you can see to the bottom, $100,000 car, everybody got them. Ain't no surprise in the club to see Sly Stallone. Miami, my second home.
Party in the city where the heat is on all night, on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido a Miami.
Bouncing in the club where the heat is on all night, on the beach till the break of dawn.
I'm going to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Party in the city where the heat is on all night, on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami.
You need to swallow first.
Oh, okay. Woo! Man, that's freaking good. Oh.
Right.
All right. Note to you, Elvacant. Never bring me food at a pay-per-view. Oh, goodness. That's awesome, though. Oh, my God. That's awesome. Oh, I need
so regular toothpaste. Shows is fine.
Huh? Well,
regular shows is fine.
I we'll discuss that later. But all right, next up, ladies and gentlemen, she is an RAWF Hall of Famer. She is the one and only First Lady of Anarchy. She is the Cougar. Good evening, Cougs.
Hello. How are ya?
I'm doing great. How are you this evening?
I want that sandwich.
No. No, I'm
hungry.
Almost... Did you bring another
like
one for her?
I didn't, but I can call down to the nephews and have them bring one up.
Please do, because I don't like the
Wait,
last
no,
time she looked.
No, no.
What?
You should have brought one for me.
I can't bring.
Look,
I didn't even know.
I can't give that many away. All right, you're not going to be. I'm not charging you now. Suck it up. You asked for one. I'm giving you one. Of course, you know, there's lots of things you could ask for that I would, give to you.
Spicy.
You don't like spicy hot meat on demand?
No, I like it when I want it, not when you demand it.
Like I said, on your
and
demand, I'm not
want...
demanding you take the sandwich.
Yes, but now I don't want the sandwich. You should have already had it ready for me. You know I like
right.
spicy. I'm from Texas. Everything has to be spicy, not just my meat.
So you mean this bag over here with the candied jalapenos and the spicy mustard and then the extra little layer of jalapeno sauce, like this one over here, you mean, that is still wrapped up and still warm?
You're making me drool.
That, you know, if you look on top of the bag, you'll notice it has a C on it.
You're making me drool. I need to borrow your shirt tail.
He's saying he actually did bring you a sandwich.
I did bring you one. I'm not dumb.
You tried to give her the sandwich before she...
Here you go.
Thank
just
you.
Want to hand
okay, I'm done.
Hand
I'm
it.
Leaving now.
No, hold on. We got to talk. I want to talk to you first. Jeez. First of all, a couple things. First of all, you were glaring your arms at Judgment, and he was talking earlier about the match with Hotshot Chaz. How do you, as the leader of Anarchy, how do you feel about two of your biggest members going at it in a scaffold match tonight?
He
do
did
we really
not
want
think
to
that
approved
for me, so he will be punished.
Uh-oh. He did not clear that with you? Uh-oh.
No.
Oh, well. Who, when
and
you
with
say
injuries
he,
being possible.
When you say he, are you speaking about Judgment or Hotshot Chaz?
Who made the challenge?
Who accepted the challenge?
Who made the challenge? Would there
you
have been an acceptance?
Neither one of them checked with you.
Would somebody have accepted had the challenge not been laid out?
And he could have also walked up here and said, hey, First Lady, he challenged me, should I do this? But he didn't do that.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
so.
Punishment should be equal.
He's going to be punished. This is the second time he's disappointed me.
All right, so here we go. I know that you're going to, whatever the punishment you have is for Judgment is grind, but we know Hawkster's punishment is he doesn't get a sandwich.
Oh, Hawkster has a punishment?
Yeah. No sandwich for
I didn't know
him. He didn't ask you either.
Hawkster?
Wait, no, I'm sorry, Chaz. Why am I saying Hawkster?
Oh, I don't know. That was confusing me. I was,
yeah, I was like, what the hell?
I don't know.
Because then we really would have had a problem because we all know I like fouls.
All of the same.
But, Cougs, with that being said... next question for you. Nightcrawler taking a break after tonight to go on tour. How long is this tour going to be, do you know? And when do you think we will see Nightcrawler back in RAWF?
I do not know how long the tour is. It would depend on how well the tickets are selling out at the venues. Give me 1 second, pretty please, and thank you. I had to have a sip of water.
Understood.
And I believe he is also going to be heading to Japan to check out the twins training there. So I don't know how long he'll be gone. Probably 6 months or better.
All right. So, wow. It's kind of sad to see him go because he was quite the star here in RAWF, and hopefully we will see him back in the future after he's done with his tour. But he is an excellent musician. I'm sure he will make a lot of money on tour, as we'll have to keep an eye on that and see. I might have to go to one or two of his shows if I'm in the neighborhood, because I know he is awesome. All right, so moving on, Aaron McFadden tonight. It is you in a hardcore steel cage against Aaron McFadden, who, you know, as I said, he's starting to get it here in RAWF. He's starting to make some noise.
Oh,
and
he's going to get it.
Yeah, he's going to get it. He's going to get it tonight, I have a feeling. This is going to be an experience of a lifetime when he gets into the hardcore steel cage match with Cougs. So, Cougs, talk to me about facing Aaron McFadden and why you accepted the challenge.
I accepted it because I was bored. And I needed something to entertain me. And, you know, sharpening my claws on the back of somebody else is quite entertaining for me. You know, you've been my scratching post a few times. Why Aaron? I haven't really gotten to torture him for quite some time. We used to be in the ring regularly when we were on different circuits, but I haven't really come across him much here. He laid out a challenge. I was bored. I accepted it. And now his back's going to be a bit raw and tenderized.
Just like that sandwich. But anyways.
The sandwich isn't raw.
No, it's well cooked.
Not that I would complain.
Well, okay.
Very
it's not very tender. You're right. Not raw and tenderized, but you're not raw. But anyways.
You can't stop thinking about the sandwich.
I can't, because now she's eating one and reminding me that I have what's left of mine sitting right here. And I barely put a dent in it, even though that song wasn't long enough. I needed more time. But that's all right. Well, Cougs, it is Immortal season. It is Hall of Fame season. And you being an RAWF Hall of Famer, and you've been an RAWF for the most part for almost its entire length, except for maybe a year or two. But I'm sure you have an opinion on who off the top of your head you think should go into the Hall of Fame.
You're really going to make me say that right now.
You don't want to say it right now? You don't have to say the one person that I already know that you're going to suggest. You could throw out another name.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Well, is Vacant in there? I mean, he is an amazing announcer. He was a very talented person in the ring regularly, and now he does it every now and then. So maybe Vacant should be in there.
I mean, that's not a bad suggestion. At all.
Of course, Unstoppabot, but, you know, Unstoppabot's kind of, you know, stubborn. And then, of course, Chris.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, those are some interesting names. And I'm sure the Hall of Fame committee is listening. apparently, I don't know. I had something stuck in my teeth, and it made me say committee. All right. Thank you, Cougs. I appreciate the input, and good luck tonight against Aaron McFadden.
Thank you very much. You may want to wish him luck.
Good luck, Aaron McFadden. You're going to need it. All right. So, El Vacant, it being Immortal season, and also means the Xanthar Platinum Dragon Memorial Tournament. And, of course, when we start donations, which I'll give you an update here on in a second, we get a lot of old faces come return to RAWF, and we certainly have that right now. Names like Revenge Gibson, former champion here in RAWF. Pennywise, a former national champion, has returned. Hotshot Taz, as we know, is back. Starshot has returned as well. So a lot of new names and faces we will be talking about here in the near future in RAWF, particularly Pennywise, who it was already victorious tonight at Unyielding over a newcomer to RAWF. First match in RAWF, the Rockin' One Night Rocker, went down to Pennywise tonight. Your thoughts on Pennywise and what you think he may accomplish here in RAWF? We know he can get there, being a former national champion.
I mean, look, I have no idea how he's done the stuff he's done in this industry. He's the size of my shoe. But, you know, like, there's no arguing with his effectiveness. He's very good in the ring. He has beaten people he has no right rhyme or reason to beat. You know, he came out tonight. You know, look, he was the opening match because he just returned, and he won it in record time. So this is not a guy to look. Well, I almost said to look over, but that sounds like a short joke.
But yes, Pennywise defeating the Rockin' One Night Rocker tonight here in the opening match at Unyielding, and I have a feeling we're going to hear more about Pennywise in the coming weeks. So, with that being said, let's bring on our reigning Midnight Hobo champion. This could be the biggest title defense of her Midnight Hobo reign, El Vacant. Let's bring in Hyper Damage. Ladies and gentlemen, Black Irish's own Maeve O'Hare now joining us at Unyielding. Good evening, Maeve.
Bossman, can you put that away?
The sandwich.
Yes, the
that's
sandwich.
The only thing. Okay, you don't like the sandwich? I'll put it away.
You can't eat the sandwich.
Oh, yes, of course. Duh. I'm sorry, Maeve, how insensitive of the person that gave me the sandwich to not realize that we're going to have somebody that couldn't eat the sandwich coming on the air.
Well, sure, go ahead and try to blame Vacant Lad. See how it is.
No, I'm kidding. But I'm sorry, I should have thought of that before you came in. I put it away. Here, I'll put it in a little mini fridge.
Thank you, Bossman.
There we go.
Much appreciated.
All right, Maeve. So, yeah. Yeah, tonight it is you and the Paragon of Greatness for the Midnight Hobo Championship. It is just mere minutes away. And how are you feeling after everything that's been said and done over the past few weeks? How are you feeling going into this match with Paragon?
You know, I thought last night after I'd said my piece that I was in a good place about the match and that I'd show up at the arena and get ready and go out there and do what I do best. And then do you know what happened, boss man? Do you know what were waiting for me when I got to my locker room?
What's that?
A note from my good friend Paragon, along with an autographed poster from him.
Wait,
really?
Of himself? Please tell me it was of himself.
Yes, it were of himself. Who else would it have been of?
I mean, I don't know. He could have found like some musician you really liked and got you a present.
No, it were a poster of himself telling me to hang in there.
That's hilarious.
I'm glad you're amused, Vacant.
I mean, I think I'm certain he meant well. I mentioned earlier to Elvacant that maybe he's playing mind games with you. Has that occurred to you, that this whole thing has just been one big mind game by the Paragon of Greatness, which is, I mean, hasn't always seemed to be his strong suit, but maybe, just maybe, he's playing a little mind games.
That's what kills me about all this, is that on one hand, I do believe that Morcorcra means well and means every nice thing that he's said about me, because he's my friend and he wouldn't say things to me that weren't true, now would he? On the other hand, I own a calendar and I know that April's coming up and that means immortal, and I know as well as everyone else in the studio what he does to himself every immortal season. It's a mania with him. It's an obsession. It's not healthy. He puts himself in harm's way. He overworks himself. I mean, as his friend, it's concerning. As his opponent, it's terrifying. Because that means I've got to go out there and stand in that ring and look across at someone who knows me very well and who has to beat me to have even a chance of getting what it is he wants most. It don't matter how much he likes me, how much he respects me, how much he admires me. At the end of the day, I'm a box he's got to check off.
You're saying you're in his way.
I'm in his way. And that's not the place that you want to be, not this time of year.
Well,
but, you know, I did some math. I was hoping that Morcorcra would be here because I know how much he loves numbers. And I were doing some math out there earlier. I've held this belt a combined 519 days, which sounds impressive until you start looking at some other numbers. Specifically, 1,539 days. That's how long the threshing machine held this belt, all told. Now, I've passed one of his individual records. His lowest record. I want everyone to understand that. The threshing machine's lowest record with this belt was 224 days. And I passed that. And if, by some miracle, I hold on to my belt tonight and go two more weeks, I'll pass it again. But the next number on my list is 477 days, which is 9 months away from now. 9 months is an awful long time. Like, 9 months puts us into next year.
Yeah, it
but
does.
If I want to pass all of the Threshing Machine's records and cement my place as the ultimate Midnight Hobo champion in RAWF, I've got to hold this belt another 3 years and 4 months. I'll be over 25 by then. I'll be old.
Oh, okay. All right.
What?
I mean, I'm not going to be as old as English out there, but.
Well, no.
English out there.
Before I can worry about 9 months from now, or 3 years from now, I've got to worry about tonight. And I said it last night, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it to him when I get out there. Bring everything you've got, Morcorcra. All of it. Your heart, your soul, your fighting spirit, the love of the fans, the love of the sport. Whatever it is, inside that mask of yours that makes it so important to you to headline Immortal? Bring it out there tonight, because I want to see what that looks like.
All right. Well, Maeve, your history here at Unyielding only goes back a couple years. It was just 2 years ago that you were, participated in your first Unyielding, defeating Cassie Jo for your first win. Then last year, you went into Unyielding with as Maeve Two Belts with both the Midnight Hobo and Hatfield McCoy Championship. You only walked out with the Midnight Hobo, defeating Hotshot Chaz, but you did lose the Hatfield McCoy to Beast. So you've had some success at Unyielding. It's not like you're, this is, you know, as far as the history of the of this particular pay-per-view, it does not work against you, so that's a good. But we also, if you listened earlier, mentioned all the things that Paragon himself has done at Unyielding. I hope that didn't.
Of course he has.
But
what have
so,
I been saying this entire time about Paragon in this time of year?
Fair enough. Fair enough. You're right. Absolutely right. Paragon is a lot of times at his best during this point of the RAWF schedule. So with that being said, Maeve, any final words for Paragon? Because you know he's listening out there somewhere.
Nope. I've said all I need to say to Mokorkra. I'll wish him luck. Because Lord knows I'm going to need it. At the end of the day, he is still my friend. We'll see if I feel that way after the end of the match. But I genuinely and sincerely wish him luck.
All right. Well, and that's very championish of you. I made another word, championish. That's a word, isn't it?
Yes, we'll go with that.
I like that, championish. All right. With that being said, thank you, Maeve. El Vacant, any final thoughts on tonight's pay-per-view? Any random thoughts you have about what you think may go down? Any surprises you think will happen?
I think these sandwiches will go down really well, especially with a nice cold beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree, and I plan as soon as we go off air on finishing this sandwich with a nice cold beer. But
wait, I have one of those for you. Hold on.
A cerveza? You got me a cerveza. Oh,
I always have a fridge for cervezas over here.
Excellent. Thank
you.
Judgment.
You think I'm doing that sober?
Good point. All right. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up for tonight's Unyielding pay-per-view show. We will be back next week, next Saturday night, to give you some Unyielding. We'll see what happens with Unyielding, what matches are over by next week, and we will start talking about Immortal 9, which will happen April 24th. Live from Reliance Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so things to look out for this week. There will be the Hall of Fame suggestion scene. And I do believe late in the week we'll be ending donations and starting the invites to this year's Xanthor the Platinum Dragon Memorial Tournament. Let me give you all an update on what we've raised thus far. Right now, it stands at 185 million coins, 7,500 wrestler bucks, and a company have been committed. And I'm hoping and believe that total will rise by the end of the donation period. So I want to thank everybody that has made donations to the tournament this year to make it, once again, one of the greatest tournaments in all of Unstoppable every year. And so hopefully later this week we will end donations and start recruiting, getting people into the tournament. So El Vacant, any last thoughts before I sign us off and I go and finish this freaking sandwich?
No, I think it's going to be a great pay-per-view. Thank you all for coming and enjoy the show.
All right. With that being said, folks, we will see you next week, next Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the RAWF Radio Network for RAWF After Hours. More information on Unyielding and Immortal and much, much more. This has been Unyielding, the RAWF pay-per-view extravaganza on the RAWF Network. Good night, everybody.
The legend.